Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I'm Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. As the election day quickly approaching, campaigns are gearing up in Kyrgyzstan to elect the next president. President Atambayev not running for the office, but the field is crowded, agendas are diverse, and competition is fierce in this controversial election process about which criticisms are coming from left and right on all sorts of issues. Among the concerns are sentencing of a presidential hopeful Tekebayev, current and the future rule and intentions of the sitting president Atambayev, the country's apparent slide towards Russia, and increasing economic challenges. So, what is at stake in these elections? To discuss the topic, I'm joined by Bakit Bashimov, who is the former Kyrgyz parliamentarian and currently professor at the Northeastern University in Boston. Temur Toktonaliyev is joining us, who is the Central Asia editor at the Institute for War and Peace Reporting, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog called Kishlok Owozi. Welcome on board, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you.
So the election campaigns have kicked off on September 10, few days on since then. Describe us, Temur, the atmosphere, the political scene on the ground.
Well, certainly if you walk, for example, in the streets of Bishkek, you might notice too much, I would say, you know, billboards and different agitation pictures and papers of two major candidates. First, it is Sooronbay Jeenbekov. He's a member of the Presidential Social Democratic Party, SDPK. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the second one is Umurbek Babanov. He's a very famous politician, wealthy businessman, yeah, and a leader of the Respublika faction in the parliament. Yeah. And currently it's very symbolic that they actually have started their agitation campaign in the south part of Kyrgyzstan. Yeah. Currently, for example, Sooronbay Jeenbekov, he is actually touring in Jalalabad region. It's the second major oblast in Kyrgyzstan, yeah? And he is meeting with different people and providing his ideas and, making some promises, while Umurbek Babanov, he is actually very active in Osh Oblast, particularly, as I remember, today or yesterday he met with different people in Osh City. But it's worth to point that we actually have 13 candidates. Yeah. Yeah? However, rest candidates are not so, you know, visible and active. We can say after these two candidates, maybe go Temir Sariyev. He is more modestly campaigning in northern part, in Chuy Oblast, maybe since he hasn't got so much financial and administration resources as previous two candidates. Yeah, and also we have Bakit Torobayev. He is very popular particularly in Jalalabad Oblast. Yeah, he is not kind of a country-wide politician. About rest candidates, I can't say exactly because we are not seeing that they are active actually.
Interesting. So you are talking about two main candidates. What are the qualities which brings them on the front?
Well, Sooronbay Jeenbekov, he actually has been a prime minister until the end of August. Yeah. He was prime minister for 1 year, and actually he is kind of seen as a candidate who logically will continue the current policy of Almazbek Atambayev. They actually have been very close, especially since 2010, maybe before, right? And Sooronbay Jeenbekov, he was governor of Osh Oblast, yeah? And in the beginning of 2016, he actually called to the Bishkek and was appointed as a prime minister. And to be honest, you know, until then, nobody actually didn't realize that he would be a next president. Mm. Yeah, and it was some kind of a, not surprise, but it was a little bit, you know, unexpected that actually Atambayev's team selected, you know, particularly this person, Sooronbay Jeenbekov. As I remember, he is older than 60 years and he was not so active in politics, actually. Mm. And he generally, by his psychologically portrayed. He's not seen kind of a, you know, active and very keen person to make some reforms and to make some big decisions. Yeah. And actually, by local experts, by civil society, he is more considered kind of a very comfortable person for Atambayev and for his group. Yeah.
Okay.
While Umurbek Babanov, he has another kind of image. Yeah. He is, you know, comparably young, kind of about 50 years old, as I remember. Yeah. And when he was a prime minister in 2012, he tried to make some reforms. We actually can talk if they were successful or not, but still he is actually considered kind of a very active and a person who can bring more kind of, you know, dynamic and different, maybe promising changes to the Kyrgyzstan.
Okay. Bakit, what Temur is talking about is two main politicians who have, according to him, a real chance of a victory. So what do you know about these two personalities? And is the Babanov is in a position to offer a tough challenge to Jeenbekov?
Before saying about the key candidates have ability to mobilize electorate, I would like to say that we're actually discussing two important things. One, large, and second one, inside of this large, the smaller. Large is it's a transformation of Kyrgyzstan and Kyrgyzstan's motion toward democracy. And I think that these elections will just one step forward, in my view, certainly. And second, it's a smaller picture. It's a Kyrgyz form of political succession. And therefore, if we just focus our attention to the actual picture inside of Kyrgyzstan among these 13 candidates, we can see two groups of candidates. The first groups are who the candidates who have the real chances to win.
And
the second one, those who will divide the votes but will not challenge the key candidates. Among the key candidates, I see the following picture. Beginning this debate, you spoke that Almazbek Atambayev is not running for election. Formally, yes, but actually he is running for election. And I think he would like to get his second term, because if he will succeed in promotion of his candidate, Jeenbekov, who has real chances to win, actually he will continue to rule the country, And you can see this kind of model in some post-Soviet countries. For instance, Medvedev, Putin, and this kind. And he would like to create this picture. And therefore, in comparison with his opponents, Atambayev, really focusing on a mid and long-term just political processes. The second candidate who has the chances to win, it's Babanov. And therefore, it seems to me, within this debate, it's time to discuss the chances of both and why we do think that these two candidates has the real chances to win.
So, Bruce, I think we are talking about two candidates among these 13 candidates in the process. So Atambayev seems to be, he's not running officially, but he's also not sitting idle in this election, fully supporting Jeenbekov, I believe, as Bakit pointed. Now, is Atambayev's support helping him?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly the president has access to the media and generally the population of Kyrgyzstan. So his going on TV, going on the radio, being quoted in the newspapers as being a supporter of Jeenbekov, I suppose, certainly keeps Jeenbekov's name out there. Now, you know, of course, there are some people who aren't favorably disposed toward President Atambayev. So, you know, I mean, it could kind of cut both ways in this particular case, where people who weren't particularly well inclined toward Atambayev might be against Jeenbekov just because of the close connection between the two. But certainly it does give Jeenbekov a little extra publicity that the other candidates won't be able to enjoy during this election. There's no doubt about it. And I do agree that, you know, Jeenbekov, for many reasons, is really important to Atambayev right now. And Atambayev would like to see him succeed. Someone had written a couple weeks ago that It's easier to become president in Kyrgyzstan than it is to become the former president of Kyrgyzstan, because they've had so many problems, running Akayev, of course, was chased from office in 2005, and Bakiyev in 2010. So there's a lot of questions about what happens when you are no longer president. The office itself defends you against many, many problems. And of course, we've seen, in the case of Omurbek Tekebayev, that he had already accused Atambayev of having some illegal property, somehow having illegal property outside the country. So once you're no longer president, you're more open to these kind of accusations. So it is very important for Atambayev to see that Jeenbekov wins this election. And of course, he's going to support him fully.
If Jeenbekov wins the election, it also means, I believe, that people in majority support Atambayev's position. In other words, this election is going to mean, I believe, is also a referendum for Atambayev's policies.
Muhammad, may I join?
Yeah, sure.
I think one of the biggest mistakes of opposition, that it's underestimation of the ability of Atambayev manipulate state resources, different clans and groups for the promotion of his personal political interests. If we look attentively whom he picked up as a prime minister, as the main candidate to the presidency, we can see the following picture, and all these things are very connected. For instance, he established very good basis for the victory of his candidate. First of all, he controls totally the law enforcement agencies, and actually he got allegiance of them, providing them free housing, salary, better than it was before. And after that, he controls entirely the state resources. And he got, the support of the majority of labor migrants, about whom he is always mentioning about the interests of the labor migrants. In the very recent meeting with Putin, he mentioned about the minor thing, driver's license in Russia. And by this, he would like to support the majority of the Kyrgyz electorate. You know that almost every second family in Kyrgyzstan as their representatives as labor migrants in Russia, in Kazakhstan. And therefore, they certainly would like, better relations with Russia, and they are pro-Russian. And after that, he got the support of Uzbek electorate, because today Uzbeks in the south of Kyrgyzstan are really happy by the improvement of relations with Uzbekistan, because it is the chance for them to trade freely, more independently, get more income, and to interact with their relatives and friends along the state border with Uzbekistan. And that's why I think this is the political capital which he would like to use. Mm. And after that, he thinks that the representatives of southern clans like Jeenbekov is a good choice. And he is very loyal. And he himself, with his family, does not have independent political capital. Mm. And therefore, they, for instance, himself cannot compete with the key politicians in the Kyrgyzstan. And their capital based on their loyalty to Atambayev. Mm-hmm. And after that, he has not a human and enough financial resources to mobilize a large number of people on a national scale. And that's why this is a good choice.
Okay, Bakit, I have a couple of questions about what you have said. Obviously, I also want to give a microphone to Timur in some of that. So if you think Atambayev is so confident about his candidate, Jeenbekov, then why to put Tekebayev in jail? Then why all these legal hurdles against some of the candidates that we have seen, who you think even does not have any chance of winning?
Well, actually, I think that actually he made such kind of actions because he was not so confident about Jeenbekov. I told you that Jeenbekov wasn't so active politician, and actually, if you 1 year ago, if you would ask who is Jeenbekov, for example, in northern part of Kyrgyzstan, yeah, I actually doubt that, let's say, 9 of 10 people would, you know, understand who is that, yeah, except only Osh Oblast, where he was a governor. And maybe that was kind of a message to other politicians who want to opposite to Atambayev, his policy, to SDPK, and to play with such kind of, you know, critique messages, yeah, during presidential election campaign. Because now we see, for example, that Kamchibek Tashiyev, leader of Atajurt party, yeah, he was actually very harsh, you know, critic of Atambayev and his policy, yeah, and he was actually playing and thinking recent 2 years how to manage, how to act during this presidential campaign, yeah. But now we see that Tashiyev actually clearly stated that he would support Jeenbekov, yeah, and that was actually a little bit shock news for opposition as well, yeah. And actually, Babanov, when he is running his presidential campaign and when he is criticizing SDPK of using administration resource, yeah, he is speaking such kind of critique very attentively, yeah, because all of these candidates, politicians, have some kind of, let's say, dirty cases, yeah, in their back, and they could end up like Tekebayev, yeah. So Tekebayev, it was kind of a clear message to other opposition candidates, yeah. So there is kind of an invisible line for Babanov and other candidates who are not for SDPK, yeah. And I also what I want to actually add shortly, yeah. Objectively saying, actually, in Kyrgyzstan, people tend to, you know, always support authority. I mean, if, for example, Atambayev would run for the second term, despite, I think, other candidates, actually, people would vote for Atambayev because he's been working for 6 years, he has made some kind of actions, and people are saying, we are kind of, you know, satisfied with him, and we want to continue this policy.
Mohammed, let me to answer to your very important question, and afterward to explain what kind of factors can destroy Atambayev's plans.
Okay.
First, you ask about why he be if he was so confident. Yeah. Is confident why he jailed Tekebayev. I didn't say that he is confident. I said that he has real chances to just achieve the victory in these elections. And because he will use entire administrative resources of a state, certainly, in multiply ways. And they are very competent in doing this invisible things. After that, his team has enough financial resources. And a third one, we have enough human resources. And I know today, in some way, in even in detail, what we're doing in the provinces, how we're mobilizing people, and through what kind of tactics we're trying to just get the votes of the people. But we are not idle. We are not just 100% confident that they can just achieve this victory easily. He has jailed Tekebayev because Tekebayev, he was the only person who was able to destroy his political legend. Because he has started, as Bruce said, investigate Atambayev's business routes. And if he will succeed, it means he can destroy his entire legend as the only and the most honest politician in Kyrgyzstan. And his desire to be the father of the nation. That's why he did everything in order to just keep Tekebayev behind the bar. He succeeded in that. And all the supporters of Tekebayev, unfortunately, they failed to mobilize people against the regime of Atambayev. Therefore, it is one of the indicators of the capability of his team to just resist to opposition. I'm shifting to the second. What can destroy Babanov? It's two very important factors. First, it's financial resources of Babanov, and he is spending a lot. And we can imagine how much he can spend invisibly. And it already making difference in Kyrgyzstan. You can see that a certain number of people were supporting Babanov. But the second factor is why today he is so bold and why he is just trying to attack the candidate of Atambayev, and indirectly he attacks the regime and the political construction created by Atambayev. It seems to me that he get the support of a certain people in Russia who are lobbying his interests in Kremlin. And therefore, today, the main question, who among the main candidates would be perfectly matched to the future interests of Russia in Kyrgyzstan, understanding that Russia has air base here, and therefore it is vital for keeping a military division in Tajikistan and so on. That's why I think that, for instance, if Babanov, with his lobbyist in Moscow, will succeed, it, certainly it can create the danger for the plans of Atambayev.
Yeah, you also have the Russian factor there, but let's discuss that in the second part of the discussion before we end the first part, Bruce. So in this scenario, both of our panelists are talking about these two key candidates in which Jeenbekov is kind of seen favorably to make it. So what are the chances that Babanov can offer tough competition against Jeenbekov in this situation? The second is, Bruce, a few days ago, I have seen an opposition effort to unite. Even Otumbayeva was waving into the push. I think they are talking about a broad coalition of some sort. What is happening in that front?
Okay, well, let me answer the second part first. You know, I mean, Kyrgyz politics are extremely dynamic, and the merging of parties and the search for support from other groups has been a part of Kyrgyz elections, you know, really going way back in 1995 for that matter. So there is this precedent already. It's part of their political history that groups get together. I mean, we just saw it, for instance, Babanov before the last parliamentary elections, he joined efforts with the Atajurt party, of Kamchibek Tashiev. And they ran and they got the second most amount of seats. So we already have even a recent example of how that works. You know, there was this effort by Toroboya from Oynugu Progress, Tashiev again from Atajurt, and Keldybekov also from Atajurt, and Madomara from Butun Kyrgyzstan to form this party, this Renaissance Vozrozhdeniya coalition right before that. It kind of fell apart, but we see that this is, you know, again, here's another attempt to try to boost your chances before elections. The idea was they were going to nominate a single candidate. You know, as far as like these mergers or these political unions which are designed to improve chances at elections, yeah, sure. And in fact, you know, even today our Kyrgyz service reported that supposedly Babanov is in talks with Toroboyev, and there was some tandem kind of deal similar to what we saw with Bakiyev and Kulov in 2005, whereby if Babanov wins, he would give the post of prime minister to Toroboyev. We see this all the time, and we're seeing it again in Kyrgyz elections. This is nothing new. And I would say that really a lot of the candidates that we are not talking about, who probably don't have a lot of chances, are in this election because they sense that they will be able to cut a deal here somewhere along the line by throwing their support behind one of the two primary candidates, and they'll get something out of this in the end, ministerial posts, something like that. You know, so that's why we do have this many people in the election is because there is some political advantage to be gained by participating in it. Now, as far as can Babanov offer competition? Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, there's the characters of the two front runners that we're talking about are very, very different. Jeyenbekov, although I've heard that he's actually very charismatic and a very pleasant person to be with, he does not come across that way when you see him. You know, I mean, one of his most famous moments in from the last few months is when he kicked out a minister at one of the parliamentary meetings, and he had a very serious look on his face, which is usually what he does have on his face. But Babanov is very energetic. He comes across as being very energetic. He's much younger. He's 47, I believe, and Jeyenbekov is 60, but will be 61 very soon. And so there's a difference between the perception of the character of the candidates, too. You know, the Babanov just comes across as a much more energetic candidate. And if you remember when they handed in their signatures over to the Central Election Commission, Babanov had this big show going on. He had people dressed in orange shirts that arrived with boxes full of the signatures to deliver to the Central Election Commission. And so this is what Jeyenbekov is really up against. He's got a showman running against him, you know, in Babanov, that Babanov will reaches out. And let's not forget that there's also something of a generation gap running through this, too. I mean, there's the older crowd that probably would support someone like Atambayev if they had a chance again. But we're getting a youth movement coming in, people like Janar Akayev, for instance, who is in parliament. And there's a whole list of this younger crowd of candidates and politically active people to whom someone like Babanov will probably appeal just because he is a lot more dynamic than Jeyenbekov. And in polls that have been run by some Kyrgyz media outlets, Babanov is far, far ahead of the other competitors. Sometimes he's the only one that even gets double digits, you know, in these surveys that they run, whereas Jeyenbekov will get 8% and you know, Babanov is 37% or something like that. Yeah. So you certainly can't discount him.
Such an interesting discussion. I really want to continue, but we also need to give a break here. But very briefly, Bruce, so what are the chances of this going to the second round?
I really think it will. I don't think either one, you know, you have to have 50% plus one vote to make it outright. And like I said, the polls that have been out, and of course, you know, we've seen that there's been a lot of problems with trusting too much in polls in the last couple of years, but in other countries. But I do not see that either Jeyenbekov or Babanov could get 50% plus one vote. And if I was going to make a prediction, I would predict that they are going to go through to a second round of voting in November.
Okay, so this is what we have been seeing so far on the domestic political scene of Kyrgyzstan. So what is ahead leading to the elections day? And most importantly, how one should imagine the day after the election? We will continue the discussion debating this and many other questions shortly. Hey everyone, before we get into the second part of the show, just a quick reminder that if you really like Majlis podcast, there's a real chance that you will also like my other radio show that's called Gandhara Podcast. The show discusses latest developments in Pakistan and Afghanistan from local perspective. And the podcast is published in every second week on Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Gandhara website. It's a totally must-follow discussion for foreign policy nerds with interest in the region. First, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty Central Asia podcast, we are discussing the forthcoming elections in Kyrgyzstan and it is local and beyond the border consequences. Joining me in the discussion are Bakit Bashimov, who is the former Kyrgyz parliamentarian and currently professor at the Northeastern University in Boston, Timur Toktonaliyev, Central Asia editor at the Institute for War and Peace Reporting, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog called Kishlag Owazi. I am Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis here in Washington, D.C. Welcome back, gentlemen, to the Majlis. Now, it's really an interesting discussion. Ideas are just floating. We really need to keep this part short, gentlemen. So First, I want to go to you, Timur. So what are the scenarios going forward until the elections days? Is there any signs of trouble? What are the things that we should be paying attention to?
Well, probably now I don't see such kind of, I mean, serious threats, such kind of big, maybe mass protest before the election, yeah? But now we actually recently receiving from different sides of our country signs about using administrative resource in for Jeenbekov. For example, Babanov's, his team actually complained to the general prosecutor's office that actually teachers in the one major university in Bishkek, yeah, they are telling openly to the students that you should vote for Jeenbekov. And we actually will reveal if you will vote to other person, yeah, and we will punish you. Mm. And we actually, and I read news that, for example, in south part of Kyrgyzstan, in Aravan district, as I remember, there was a local governor, authoritarian. He was actually also trying to work for Jeenbekov, for SDPK, yeah? And such kind of complaints are actually going to the prosecutor's office against only Jeenbekov. And there is actually a fear that administrative resource will be widely used. And, you know, before I talked to different people from hospitals and schools, and I asked them maybe such kind of a naive question, yeah? Yeah. Well, we are hearing that from the government media that actually government, they will not allow using administrative resource. Do you believe that you won't be pushed, yeah, by your heads, yeah, in mm-hmm. schools and hospital work for Jeenbekov, let's say, for example? And they actually laughed and they said that they're sure that they actually will have to work, yeah, mm-hmm. will have to use administrative resources in order to gain more votes for Jeenbekov. And this is actually concerning, yeah. And if such kind of cases will be widened, yeah, in the different part of the country, and if, for example, some candidates, let's say Babanov or others, yeah, they will manage to mobilize some portion of people for demonstrations, mm-hmm. maybe there would be some kind of a conflict, anger from people, yeah, that you are using all such kind of techniques, yeah, from Akayev and Bakir's period. This might be a possible conflict.
Let's take, Bakit, your point in this. So in Kyrgyzstan, whenever there is an election, we see issues involving regionalism, like corruption and all these things. What kind of things you are looking at as Kyrgyzstan is leading up to elections?
For election, it's so important to understand what kind of factors determine the outcomes of this election in Kyrgyzstan. And the second one, what kind of scenario we can see and why we see these scenarios. Firstly, I think that I see some destabilization in a post-election Kyrgyzstan in the case if Atambayev will lose this election uh-huh. only. And because this transition period can create some kind of trouble for different camps, and they will try to adjust balance and so on. I see this kind. But in my view, it will not be so dangerous. But I don't have enough evidence today to say that it will happen. Why? Because I'm just would like to explain the factors. The factors is, as I mentioned, is administrative resources. And using administrative resources, today Kyrgyz authorities, officials, representatives of Atambayev camp have effective methods to control the voting process. And after that, they control the process of counting the votes. And despite the presence of observers and so on. And second one, it's money. They are using a lot of money. And today, majority of the people just having daily problems with the income and so on. They tend to just be victims of this kind of approach to them as representatives of electorate. And the third one, ability to just play tribal policy. For instance, if you look at the two candidates, we can say that Jeenbekov and General Atambayev can controls Osh Oblast. Today, at least half of Jalalabad Oblast and certainly Batken Oblast, and majority of votes in the south of Kyrgyzstan. Babanov can get many votes in these provinces too, but before the election, I think that they will do something in order to limit the opportunities of Babanov to mobilize the people, and they will do just do something against him. All our candidates, they can just get some votes, but they can succeed only if they will unite under one candidate. Because before the election, I will not surprise if we'll see that some candidates will join to Jeenbekov, like Tashiev and so on. Mm-hmm. Because Kyrgyz authorities, Kyrgyz presidents always use this is buy-off policy, and it's relatively successful.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Therefore, they will just today invisibly from the electorate negotiating. And probably they will start very soon to negotiate about the post-election balance of power, about what kind of state positions they can get. And Atambayev with Jeenbekov, they are able to offer many of them something that they cannot reject. Mm. And therefore, I think if Babanov get strong assurances from, let's say, Moscow, that he will be protected after the election, and he will continue to be bold in these elections.
Okay. Very quickly, Bruce, so any role that the Tekebayev's detention playing in this election, like any sign of tension? And the second thing is, Bruce, you were in Bishkek last time when the election was taking place. Was it the parliamentarian or the presidential? I don't remember, but you were there. We had a discussion with you when you were in Kyrgyzstan. So based on your previous experiences, is corruption will be an issue in this election?
Well, corruption was one of the primary, at least stated issues that in the last election. And it was parliamentary elections in 2015. Mm. And I was all over the country, actually. I made a point of going to each one of the oblasts and did 3,000 kilometers in 21 days just so I could see as much as possible. Yes, of course, corruption, but corruption's a perennial. You know, everyone is going to promise that they're going to stamp out corruption and that kind of stuff. Now, you know, so we'll see. I mean, there's some issues that you're always going to bring up. You know, again, corruption's one. Getting the economy going a little bit quicker, more jobs for people, a better share of the Kumtor gold mine, things like that. I mean, this stuff is always out there every time they do these elections. So, yeah, I'm sure you're going to hear these kind of promises. As far as the Tekebayev thing, you know, I personally didn't think that he probably would have had a chance to win the presidency.
Yeah.
And so far, it's been pretty quiet. I mean, I don't agree with the process that was the judicial process against him. I have a lot of problems with how that worked. But the thing is that it has passed, but it is one of those things that's still out there on the table. And what we've seen whenever there's been problems in Kyrgyzstan is a lot of issues build up, and the strangest things can spark unrest that you wouldn't think would be enough. But it's like, you know, the proverbial last straw that broke the camel's back. So the Tekebayev issue is there. If more issues such as that are added to it, then you could have a problem. And let's not forget that one of the candidates is Azimbek Beknazarov, who is, for lack of a better way to put it, great at causing some disturbance in the system. He manages to mobilize people and get them out and get them angry and making a lot of noise about different things. And he's in the election now, although technically I believe they're filing charges against him, or they have filed charges against him of perjury in the Tekebayev trial. So, you know, he's out there, and if somebody like that gets loose and starts telling his constituents that the election is unfair and that the people are being robbed of a free and fair election, then, yeah, you know, we could have problems. That would just be more fuel added to a potential fire caused by issues, of which Tekebayev's case is only one.
You know, Muhammad, I would like just to add to what Bruce said. Corruption is not the issue. Corruption is essential of Kyrgyz politics. And it's in way how it occurs. And regarding with Tekebaev, you see that it's just, it seems to me, beginning of a process. And if he will succeed, I mean Atambayev, he will continue the persecution for people who were against him.
Okay, so let's end the discussion with a very brief point looking into the future. Let's start with you, maybe, Bruce. So what does this mean to Kyrgyzstan in the region if Jeenbekov is elected, and what if Babanov is elected?
Well, of course, if Jeenbekov is elected, this is just a continuation of the policies of Atambayev, and I suppose that would be the smoothest way for the transition. Babanov, of course, we don't know exactly what would happen if he was in there, but he might actually inject a little bit of dynamism into the Kyrgyz government that we have not seen before. And I would mention one thing, too, because we talked, you know, it was mentioned earlier that he seems to have some connections in Russia, but I found it very, very curious that when the Uzbek president recently visited Kyrgyzstan, he was being introduced to the various leaders of political parties, and when he was introduced to Babanov, he actually stopped and said, "I think I've heard something about you." It was a very curious moment, so you had to wonder if that wasn't some kind of hint from Tashkent that Babanov was an acceptable candidate for them. You know, certainly if Babanov could fulfill half the promises that he's already starting to make, you'd have to say that that was a good thing for Kyrgyzstan. Although, you know, I think the last thing I can say on that is the most important thing about this election is that it goes well and that we really don't have any problems, and that whoever is declared the victor, we're not going to see mass protests or anything like that. It's not just important for Kyrgyzstan, it's important for all of Central Asia to see that we can have a peaceful transition of power. You know, and have a new president elected without there being a lot of problems in the aftermath of the election.
Okay. On the same point, Bakit, Timur, whoever wants to jump in.
I think that foreign observers of this election will create a contextual picture of this election, very particularistic story, saying that in comparison with the personality cult established in Turkmenistan, in Tajikistan, with the uncertainty in Uzbekistan, who is in transition, and with the inevitable dominance of the supreme leader of Kazakhstan, of course, any results of election in Kyrgyzstan is just one step forward. Therefore, I don't see today any serious causes for the, let's say, dangerous destabilization of Kyrgyzstan.
Okay. Timur?
Well, it is obvious that if Jeenbekov will be president, Atambayev's policy will be continued. But also there is a fear, since Jeenbekov has got a lot of brothers and relatives from southern part of Kyrgyzstan, that all those, you know, relatives will be involved, unprofessional relatives, I mean, will be involved to the big policy, yeah, and present ineffective work of administration. There is a fear, but hope that Sapar Isakov and his team will kind of, you know, bring some dynamic. And if Babanov wins, there is a big fear that he will make Kyrgyzstan kind of a big corporation in order to, you know, making benefits only for himself, but not for the society.
Okay, thank you very much for your thoughts and insight, Timur Toktanaliyev, Central Asia editor at the Institute for War and Peace Reporting. And big thanks to Bakit Vashimov, who's the former Kyrgyz parliamentarian and currently professor at the Northeastern University in Boston, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlok Uwazi. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.